Welcome, everyone, to our Evening Star Venus Aries Ascent class. We're so excited to be here with you, and we have a lot of great things planned. We hope it all comes off. It's been interesting with all the planets in forward motion, I have to say. It has been crazy. And I've been talking to a lot of people who have just felt completely exhausted by all that forward movement. So if that's the case, the news is today, Jupiter is retrograde. Woohoo! So that means that slows down that forward movement and allows us a little bit more time. Anyway, so we are approaching the very first gate. That'll be exact on March 18th. We'll talk more about that as the Aries Meta Goddess is rising into her strength and her power, shining her bright light upon the world. Yay! She's so great to see in the evening sky next to Mercury. We'll talk about that. And at this gate, it's where we get to reclaim our personal identity and the power to offer our personal gifts to the greater collective as we become even more fully grounded and rooted to the earth and our bodies. Yes. So if you are newly joining us, we want to just welcome you. And of course, we want to welcome all the people that are returning, but welcome you to this powerful initiatory journey. And thank you for adding your presence as we celebrate the return of the divine feminine and this energy that we've been building now for the last 4 years. Pretty powerful. So we want to just honor and connect with this last, also Venus and Aries Meta Goddess journey of our lifetime. And we're going to do a little bit with the grandmothers because that's where we started and we love them. we'll get to that in just a minute. But just a couple of reminders, too, that if you're if you haven't been invited to the Facebook page yet, you need to either friend Tammy or me and we'll get you added. Probably Tammy is the best choice there because she has the list. So it's a great place for support and, you know, sharing and, you know, just seeing how the journey's going for others. If you're not on Facebook, you can always email us and we'll make sure that whatever you have to share can be shared on Facebook and let you know what the feedback is if there's any. For anyone, and this is actually a reminder for everyone who's been on this journey, but also for those who are new to this journey, because this is super important to remember that wherever you are now is exactly where you're meant to be. So there's no right or wrong. There's no better or worse. You know, some people may be having great experiences. Some people may be having more challenging experiences. Whatever is going on for you is exactly what needs to be going on for you. This is about trusting the journey and trusting the process, allowing this process to work its deep magic, to even when it feels messy, even when it feels challenging. And it is an amazing opportunity to work through those more challenging places, but also to have really amazing, transformative, fun experiences as well. So, and let's see. The other thing is, go ahead.
So when you're done, I want to say a couple things I think are important.
Who what?
I said, when you're done, I think there's a couple other things that I wanted to mention.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. So just something else is that we have found that this process is much easier when we release the need to control it and really trust what's happening in the process. So also remember that when you're listening to the live classes, the recordings, the videos, the meditations, any of that, that these are all part of the potent ceremonial space, and it's working with you regardless of whether you are listening to these classes, watching the videos, you know, doing all the things that we have for you or not. So we just want to encourage everyone not to feel bad if you're not doing everything, because we offer a lot. And if you can do it, all great. And if you can't, that's also okay. Do what you can and what you feel you can commit to that works for you. Because we're also looking at how do we accept what is, how do we trust our process, how do we trust the journey, how do we trust ourselves, how do we trust the universe, how do we trust our commitment to the journey and where it's taking us. And again, that it's taking us where we most need to go. So there's that. I just also do want to say that it is important, especially the Aries Meta Goddess is all about making a commitment. So make a commitment to the journey in whatever way works for you, and then follow through on that commitment if at all possible. And whatever that commitment is, it's perfect. There's no judgment here about, you know, what you should do. So, Tammy, what do you have to say?
Yeah. I just wanted to echo what you're saying, but also to just in the practical end of things, I think everyone who's done this before knows this, but for if you're new, just to know that to have the PDF that we've posted, to have that open on your computer or on your phone or on your device is very, very helpful, because we do, have a lot of visuals on the PDF that we're going through. So just so you're aware of that. And I feel like there's another thing. Oh, just also that even just navigating the page, you know, we've sent you an email that's to help you orient. But just to remember that it's on the page itself. We've got all the dates of the upcoming classes. We've got a different handouts to show you what dates everything is happening for Venus. And then at the very bottom, you'll see that there are videos. There's a lot. There's like the grandmother guide meditation. There's the main video we recommend that you see. And also, I just want to remind people that if they haven't watched it already, the ceremonial considerations for the Venus cycle is a really helpful video to just really understand and go into depth with all the tools we'll be using. So, if people who are new feel a little overwhelmed with it, that what I could do that I've done in the past is do some kind of a 10-minute Zoom session where we just like go through it and you understand, you know, maybe the process, because it's a lot of information and it's amazing. And it can be helpful just to know that that's there if you need it. So that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Okay. And do we want to talk about Venus Buddies now or later?
About Venus what? Oh, Buddies. Yeah, Buddy. You know, probably now, since we're talking logistics.
Yeah.
So we highly, highly recommend that people consider getting a Venus buddy. And if you were in the Morningstar class, you may have had a buddy that you want to keep. You may want a new buddy, and there's no judgment around that. A lot of people do, people do it both ways. But basically this week, in the coming week, I will be sending an email with a Google Doc to collect information about who wants a Venus buddy, how you want to communicate, that kind of thing. So look for that, and then over the course of this month, I'll be pulling people's names out of a purple hat to figure out who knows who.
Just something that we want to say, because Tammy and I are kind of Venus buddies, because we're always planning and creating this content together, and we take each other deeper. We, you know, she comes up with ideas that help me to come up with ideas that help her to come up with. So it is like a perspective and understanding. It is so helpful. So if you are up for that, we really do recommend that you do it. And some people really like to do their own journey, so that's okay too. But anyway, we will, if you're interested, we'll definitely try to pair you up with somebody that's in a similar time zone and all of that. So yay, hopefully you'll have a good buddy if one.
It's really fun to see who ends up with who. And we will ask, do you want it to be in your same bioregion? So you might even have someone in your city or near you. So that's fun. And also, I just wanted to briefly say, too, when Kaylin said, you know, don't worry about keeping up with everything, that's really, you know, I often think about it like if you just follow the classes and you listen to Kaylin's guided meditation, you know, if that's what you do over the course of the month, that in and of itself will get you into a really good zone. And then if you want to deepen, of course, you get more out of it if you do the deepening or the home play exercises and if you watch the other videos. But just know that you're already in this initiation with all of us, and you've already stepped into this initiatory path, and your presence, it's already underway. And for those who have been with us in the whole journey, it's just beautiful to know we've all been building this energy together that the rest of you get to jump into with us now.
Yes, and we have a really great field of energy that we've been creating. So welcome again. Woohoo! All right, so begin and create a little sacred space as we so we can dive into the content. So I just invite you to notice your breath. And as you're breathing in, you could imagine that the breath is entering the top of your head and moving all the way down the front of your body, down all the way to your root chakra. And what's interesting to note is that when we take the first breath of life, we're bringing that the soul into the body, bringing it down into the body to be embodied. So imagining this energy is coming down into your body as we become more embodied, rising up from the underworld where we've been. And then as you do breathe into that root chakra, notice that your breath is activating it. And then as you breathe out, breathe up your spine and out the top of your head. And interesting to note that when we leave this life, ideally our energy goes out the top of our head, that our soul leaves out the top of our head. That's, I think, something that the monks or the Buddhist monks and people would say is like that's what they're practicing for. So we just circulate this breath, breathing down the front of the body and into the root chakra, then up the spine, and then back around down the front of the body into the root chakra, and kind of create this circular breath. And imagine how this breath is energizing your entire being. And as you're doing that, you can also notice what's moving or not moving in your root chakra and take note of that. And as we circulate this breath, we can also feel into our immense gratitude for this sacred, safe container we have been continuing to create within the sacred space of our shared journey. We can also, again, express gratitude for the circle of grandmothers. We're just about to have a grandmother's prayer. Our personal grandmother guides, if you have connected with them. If you haven't, that's okay, but you can actually imagine gratitude for them, even if you're not really fully connected with them yet. Also, any helpful allies that you have, beings of light, any teachers, master teachers, or guides that you have a connection with, whether you know them or not. You can give gratitude for that and ask for their help and support through this journey as we're claiming our true self, and also letting go of any aspects of the conditioned self that has prevented you from fully experiencing who you truly are. So now we're going to have the grandmother prayer.
Oh, beloved grandmothers, you who called us to initiate our collective remembrance of the Venus mystery, restoring the divine feminine presence within and without. We honor you as wisdom keepers of our bloodline and our DNA. We celebrate your great love and resiliency, triumphing through 5,000 years of patriarchy. We see and feel you surround and support us as we rise and say, no more. No more exploitation of our bodies and the earth. No more cultural conditioning to separate men from their hearts and the sacred feminine within them. We hear and feel you as grandmothers of our spiritual lineage, transmitting wisdom from across all reaches of the galaxy and all timelines, providing us with all knowledge and spiritual insight, guiding us to a new way. With you beside us, we walk in beauty and harmony with the pattern of the cosmos, and all creation is empowered through all of us as protectors and service to the earth. Together we have the power to restore balance for all those earth on earth now and for all future generations.
Aho. Oh, so beautiful. That's such a beautiful prayer. Thank you. And now we're going to energize the warrior goddess, the wild warrior woman. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. You can imagine her in any way that you would like. Sekhmet, Durga, there's lots of warrior women, warrior goddesses that you can connect with. So this is kind of an open prayer to the warrior goddess. Beloved goddess of the scarlet robe, great one of alchemy and healing, lady of transformations, goddess of great strength and kundalini life force energy, alive with ancient wisdom. Guide and support me to reclaim my ability to know and trust I am safe and secure. I am loved. I am accepted and supported. Ancient wise one, remover of obstacles, help me to reclaim my most vibrant, alive life force energy. So I am creating and maintaining healthy boundaries that help to further my noble cause and worthy mission. Guide me in truly knowing my immense value, strength, courage, and evolving life purpose. Help me reclaim a healthy, alive, and powerful root chakra so I again experience the wonder and magic of my life force, fully living my sacred purpose by taking inspired action while knowing I have the strength, courage, and will to do so. As I restore the cosmic balance within myself, I help to restore the sacred balance for the rest of the world.
There it is. Thank you. I always feel those prayers so much in my body. Especially when it's Sekhmet or Durga. So, all right. So I'm going to go ahead and just give a little overview of what it is that we're going to be covering over the next hour, a little bit over an hour. And first, is that Keelan will be digging into sky magic. I'll add a little bit in there, but talking about what's happening in the sky, and this is something that we'll be including in every class from here on out so that you begin to really connect into the mysteries of actually working with spending time under the night sky. And in the morning sky, it's a little bit harder because it requires you to wake up really early, but now we're working with the evening sky, so pretty amazing to be able to see how Venus is moving through the sky over the next 8 months. And then Aries, the Aries meta goddess moving through Aries and Taurus, we'll talk about how over the course of this cycle that we could engage with the different signs that Venus moves through, the seasonal signs. Then we'll talk about historic and current Aries goddesses. We'll talk about Durga and Sekhmet, two of the fierce feminine goddesses that we would encourage you to work with, and two possibilities. And then the Aries-Pisces bridge cycle, Aries at the root chakra, we'll talk quite a bit about that, including demons at the root chakra, and then we will guide you through a brief Venus temple journey and sky temple journey. And then we'll complete with home play, and hopefully we'll have some time for Q&A.
We will have some time, but hopefully a lot of time, and hopefully people will have things they'll want to share with us. So if you're following along with the slides from the PDF in, on the class page, we're now on number 6 and looking at where the Moon, Venus, and Mercury will be on March 17th around 6 p.m. So one of the things we like to do is to help give a visual. And I was out walking the other night, two nights ago, and I got to see Venus and Mercury pretty much looking like they do in this image right here. The only thing that was missing was the Moon. So, and you can see that on the 17th, Venus and Mercury are about 2 degrees apart. They're pretty close, and they've actually already had one conjunction. They're going to have a second one soon. We're going to talk a little bit more about what that means in a moment. So we highly encourage everyone to go outside and see what this looks like if you have clear skies. If you don't, these star maps are another way to tune in and kind of, you know, like meditate on this energy in some way, if that's helpful to you. Also, you're seeing the constellation, the drawing of the constellation of the fish here, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along and why that's significant at this particular time. So then on the 18th, so going to the next slide, number 7, the exact Venus Moon conjunction is happening at 2:58 p.m., meaning we won't see it because they won't be visible in the sky because the sun's there. But later that evening, we will see the crescent moon with Venus and Mercury, kind of creating the image that you see here on the slide. And this is around 7 p.m.
Yeah, so actually some people in the East Coast probably will see it.
Oh, yeah, depending on their, 2:58 p.m. Pacific time. So if you're further east, well, it'd be 5:58 p.m. Might not be dark enough yet. I don't know. Because there's still quite a lot of light in the sky. But you might be able to see it if you're on the East Coast. And also for people who are in European countries, we have a few of them, I think, with us.
Yeah.
So that's possible, too. But, yeah, we've set everything for Pacific time, so you need to adjust for your time zone for when these things are happening. Yeah. I've got March. I said March 17th, but I think this is supposed to say March 19th. Sorry about that. March 19th around 7 p.m. because we've got Venus and Mercury at 16, almost exactly conjunct, 16 Aries. At that particular time. So this is the second Venus-Mercury conjunction, and you can see the moon is way above now Venus and Mercury, and it's growing in light, so it's getting a little bigger. So those are the 3 days that are the most important to really see the moon in some configuration with Venus and Mercury. Ideally, you'll get to see it on the 18th, but if not, if you just get to see it on one of those days, at any one of those days, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go to the next slide, number 8, we're going to see some of the things that are happening this month. And I'll just mention them briefly because we just already, of course, talked about the Venus gate, moon gate. But Eris, the goddess Eris, who in Greek mythology was the one who disrupted a wedding party because she wasn't invited. So we always invite her because, you know, it's important to invite that part be part of the party. And she's around 23 degrees Aries most of March. And on the 25th, Venus will be with her. Absolutely everybody on this call has Eris in Aries. She is in Aries for 130 years or something like that. And it started in the 1920s and goes on and on. So it's, you know, she's there for a really long time. And she is the one that disrupted Pluto from being considered a planet. Pluto got demoted to being a dwarf planet. Eris got promoted to being a dwarf planet, and it equalized them. And I always think that is just so amazing. So, and Eris being in Aries, you know, how do we restore the cosmic balance? How do we restore that balance? So just something to know that's going on. On March 19th, Venus and Mercury will make their exact conjunction. And of course we'll have the equinox at this, during this gate. We'll also have Mercury station retrograde on March 22nd during this gate. And then we'll have, Venus catch up to Uranus, but right after it catches up to Eris, during this gate. And they're in the constellation of the fish. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but this is very significant to have Uranus here, to have Eris here, to have Venus here and the moon here. It's like, wow. And Mercury stationing retrograde at 5 Aries. At 15 or 17 Aries. And then it's going to station direct in April before the next gate at 5 Aries. So these are just a few of the things. And on the slide number 9, you will see the constellation of the fish, the ram, the bull, and the twins. And over the next few months, the Venus-Moon conjunctions are going to take place in these constellations. And we'll have more to tell you about that as we get towards that time. And then on slide number 10, you can see this is an Earth sky map, which I think is kind of fun. The showing the Venus and Mercury very close together on the 18th, and then how the moon is there, and then how the moon is moving above them. The 20th is when we'll have the exact equinox at 9:16 a.m. It should say Pacific Daylight Time, not PST, PDT, sorry, about that. And then a couple days later, Mercury's going to station retrograde. It'll still be kind of hanging out right in the place that it is when that happens. And this is the best appearance of Mercury this year in the evening sky for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere. So just something to also be aware of. So if you get a chance to see Mercury, it's pretty cool. Venus is much brighter, but there's Mercury. And in the story of Inanna going into the underworld, Mercury or Ninshabar greets her when she comes out as she's coming into the second gate. And that is one of the reasons why the this particular Venus cycle, when Venus rose closest to the spring equinox, is the ones that the Sumerians modeled the story after. And there she is. It's not always in every point of the pentagram that you'll see Mercury right there as she's coming into this gate. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. So then if we go to slide number 11, we're going to see this is all about the return of the Shekinah, Mercury and Venus being really close together. There was a book that was written by Christopher Knight and Robert Lomas called The Hiram Key. And they talked about how the building of Solomon's temple was actually built to track Mercury and Venus, or Venus with another bright planet, but they think mostly it had to do with Mercury, and that was considered the return of the Shekinah, or the return of that divine feminine presence that lights our world. And so this is something that actually does happen every 40 years. So if you're in your age 40 Venus return, on your birthday, Mercury will be very close to where it was when you were born, as will Venus be very close to where it was when you were born. So that's, and there's a whole lot of cool things about the number 40 with the Venus cycle, and this is just another one of them. Because, you know, five Venus cycles, 19-month cycles, happen every 8 years, so Venus returns every 8 years to a starting place, and 5 times 8 equals 40. So this is just another reason why that age 40 Venus return is so often life-changing. I will say, I know it was for me, and I'm pretty sure it was for you too, Tammy.
It's incredible. The first one I worked with ceremonially, so yes.
Right. I didn't even know to work with mine ceremonially, but I was working with it ceremonially in a way that I didn't imagine. That was it all worked out magically. It was like perfect. But mm-hmm. just learning about Venus cycle at that particular time. So yeah, pretty cool. So the other thing is that on slide number 12, you see the sacred geometry that Mercury and Venus create together. And when I saw this, I was like, oh, it's the triquetra. It's the way they create this path through the sky. And the triquetra is like three circles kind of, you know, interlocking, like the three vesica Pisces. And this image has another circle around it. That's the path of one's the path of, say, Mercury, one's the path of Venus. You could look at it that way. It's like, did they know? Is this what they were doing when they were creating it? I was like, pretty cool. And, of course, the triquetra is considered a feminine symbol of the feminine trinity. We could think of it as, yeah, I know, I just love it. So this is also happening in the cycle, like, whoa, and we can work with it. Mercury also having to do with how we communicate and express and creatively express, and working with Venus so closely as Venus comes up out of the underworld to the first gate to really reclaim that root chakra. And you know, Mercury's right there to help her, to support her in that journey. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, then these next few slides, I'm going to kind of go a little bit quickly. Number 13, it's showing where the spring equinox is now. So the green line here is the path of the ecliptic. And the red line is the Earth's equator expanded out in space, called the celestial equator. And where those two lines cross in the sky is where we have the equinox point, the balance of day and night. So we, you know, the sun rises due east, sets due west. The sun's in the sky the same number of hours it's not in the sky. Equinox, equal day and light, day and night. And we can see that the Venus-Moon conjunction is happening a little further into this constellation of the fish. The vernal equinox is moving, and it's moving 1 degree every 72 years. So you'll see in a minute how that's going to shift. So where this Venus Moon conjunction is taking place is significant, and we'll be exploring that in just a minute. Here's where the vernal equinox was in 1 AD, or about 2,000 years ago. where it was crossing, and you can see it's further into the fish. This is on slide number 14. So the where those two lines cross is at the beginning of the fish, and that was considered to be the beginning of the age of Pisces, but it's not Pisces. It's zero Aries point. It's the seasonal point of Aries, spring, or if you're in the opposite hemisphere, the autumnal equinox, that's where the sun is rising in that constellation. So we call it the fish so we don't get confused, because it's not the sign of Pisces that people think about. It's the seasonal energy that's going through that time. And then as we go to the next slide, number 15, we can see where the vernal equinox will be in 3000 AD, and it's definitely in the water bearer. Now, some of this has to do with the way these constellations are drawn. So there's kind of an overlap between actually the fish and the water bearer, but the way that is drawn in this program isn't really showing that. Anyway, so just to give you an idea of how that shifts and how it has been shifting. So what's significant is if you look at slide number 16, we can see where the sun is rose at 2,000 years ago, where it's rising now, and where it's going to rise in 3,000 AD at the equinox time. So that's the thing that they call the precession of the equinoxes, and that's what's happening in the sky right now. And the middle one is the one where the equinox sun is rising, right under the circlet of the fish. So where Venus and the moon are going to be is further into this constellation, and both will pass the moon very quickly. It'll take Venus a little bit longer, are going to pass two stars of the fish that are really significant and have a lot of mythic stories connected to them, Al-Rishi and Al-Ferg. And I'm not going to go into this in depth. We've talked about this before in other classes. The story is here that you can tune into. But the thing that I just want to bring to everyone's attention is how the Al-Rishi is the star that marks the knot that ties the two fish together. And so with Venus, and Uranus actually is also very close to this star as well, this entire month and a lot of this year. And it's going to be actually returning to station at 28 Aries in January of 2019. So this star is being very much activated by Uranus at this point, and was last year as well. So we might be wondering how this is linking our experience and creating a new synthesis. As the goddess is rising, she's rising renewed, she's rising reconnected, and how does that help her connect with the multiverse of possibilities that's now available? So that's a question to dream into over this month. So, yeah,
that's
pretty cool.
And the multiverse of opportunity, of possibilities, you're thinking about that with Uranus?
Right? Because Uranus is all about the multiverse of opportunity.
yeah, that's so powerful. Yeah. What an amazing point in the sky.
Right? And so then if you're looking at slide number 18, the just another little piece to bring in is that Al-Rishi is the knot that connects the two fishes together that are swimming in opposite directions. And I researched this some years ago and was really fascinated to find out that the Rishi, the knot, so in Vedic, you know, ways of looking at it, or maybe even because this is an image of Kuan Yin, that it's that knot of hair that's on the Buddha or Kuan Yin, or the Sikhs would wear this knot of hair. And they saw it as a symbol for channeling divine energy. And then that it also symbolized somebody who could really had the capacity to control that flow of life force energy or prana into their body. And so we can imagine that Venus is expanding her capacity and our capacity, since we're so connected to her, to channel and direct life force energy at the root chakra as she passes by the star. How cool is that? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Al-Rishi is connecting link between the two fish going in opposite directions, and Al-Ferg is the outpouring of water from a jar. So it's like they're a connecting link or a nexus between two unique energies. And so another question that you can consider is, what messages are available from other realms of reality, linking our experiences for the purpose of synthesizing new healthy ways of relating to and expressing all the multidimensional aspects now manifesting. So just something else to tune into as well. And maybe you want to wear your hair on a knot on top of your head if it's long enough to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking I might at least do that a little bit. Anyway, so slide number 18, this is a whole story about the constellation of the fish that was written by Manlius in the first century. I'm not going to share this right now. You can read it for whatever, you know. He's basically talking about if you have, you know, say the sun was here or Venus was here or the moon was here or some other planet was here, like especially a personal planet, these may be some qualities that you would have. This is definitely an older idea because we wouldn't necessarily look at it this way, but I just thought it was interesting and people might find it fun to look at. And then this is book, Starlight Elixirs. This is on slide number 20. Starlight Elixirs and Cosmic Vibrational Healing, they did a lot of journeying to the stars to get new ideas about how the stars are showing up. And so this is what they saw about that. And the reason that it's cool to include this is for you, it's like we don't have to necessarily think that what these stars mean is what other people have said they mean. You have your direct experience. You create a journey, or you go out and be with these stars and see what they have to say to you as well.
And that's especially important now because, as you'll see, a lot of these stories about the stars are quite ancient, and there's been a gap in the living tradition in Western astrology of working directly with the stars. And also because we work at the turning of the ages, it's even more essential that more and more of us are really tuning in and asking what is the new information and what is the insight by spending time under the sky and doing these practices.
Yes, absolutely. And I did, as I was tuning in, I was like, okay, so Uranus is all about disrupting the old so something new can come in and is connecting with these stars this year. So perhaps it's about helping to accelerate the release of those old, maybe no longer useful patterns and up-leveling yet again our ability to experience the truth of who we really are, because that's what it's all about right now. So how do we think and act outside the box of the old ways of looking at things? So pretty cool.
Yeah, and interesting that you bring all that up because, of course, Eris is not too far from that point either, and it's all about this disruption.
Yeah, she's getting close. She's like within 5 degrees now, I think, 5 or 6 degrees. Yeah, she's going to be there over the next few years. Very cool.
Yes.
So now.
So, yeah, what's fun about shamanic astrology in general, and what's fun about Venus Alchemy's work and dreaming into that paradigm further, is that we get to talk about what's happening in the sky with Venus, and we also get to talk about what's happening with Venus moving through the seasonal signs. So, so now you know where she's moving visibly in the sky. And from March 6th to the 30th, well, she just moved into the sign of Aries a couple days ago, and will remain in the sign of Aries until March 30th. And so we can also tune into what that might look and feel like for us in this really powerful time where Venus, she's in Aries, in an Aries cycle, and now she's returned to the sign of Aries as she's, you know, coming out of the underworld period of initiation. So, you know, for many of us, we might feel a little bit tender. We might feel a little bit we're gaining our strength. You know, just think about Inanna and the story. She's just been brought back to life. She's just beginning to make her ascent. So as she's doing so, she's in the sign of Aries. So think about how in the morning sky, the Aries goddess, like Inanna, is bright. She's fierce. She doesn't know what she's getting herself into. Now she's been through the underworld experience, so she's tempered. She's still this powerful, fierce feminine, but she's a little wiser. She's got more depth. So the evening star Aries meta goddess at the root chakra, moving through the sign of Aries, is reclaiming her bold mission and purpose. And then just considering the Aries goddess is now, she's moving through the root chakra, so she's really gaining her foundation as the fierce feminine, as the wild woman, warrior goddess. She's strengthening her foundation, building her base for the remainder of this cycle. So We are strengthening our rooted foundation so we are centered as we can possibly be. We are all in as Fierce Protector, wisely guarding our energy, time, and resources so we can maximize our impact in the world around us. That may not have been as much the case during the Morningstar period of the cycle from last early April until she disappeared in the underworld November 28th. If you think about that period, maybe we were a little bit more in action, and maybe now we're like, okay, we can act in a grounded way. We have gained wisdom and experience in our journey through the morning sky and underworld. We have released our need to be heroic and save everyone. We are now turning our heroic efforts toward ourselves, understanding and living from the premise that we must first take responsibility for our own lives, bringing them into balance so we can serve the whole with integrity and our full presence. So that's what we're energizing, so all of us can tune into how that actually feels. The Aries Meta Goddess in Taurus at the root chakra is, Venus will move into the sign of Taurus March 30th and remain there until April 24th. So from that phase, the Aries Meta Goddess, because through the whole cycle, it is the Aries Meta Goddess who is really the leading energy. She will be at the root chakra moving through the sign of Taurus. So one of the ways to tune into that is to say she is all in, and we are all in, around fully experiencing the pleasure and beauty of the earth realm. So we are anchoring our ecstatic and embodied love of our home planet as the garden of earthly delights, sourcing regenerative power and inspiration as a fierce love goddess, protecting the living earth and all her creatures, including our wild and indigenous hearts. We are taking time to ground, center, and enjoy life as lived through all of our senses. As we fall in love with ourselves and know our deep value, we connect more deeply with the flowering land and become vessels of deep feminine presence, ignited by love and source and earth's aliveness as an unstoppable force to renew our world and restore a loving earth culture. So to me, it feels like moving through Taurus is like where we plug in to life force energy, and we plug into why it is that we are, part of why it is that we're here, which is to really restore a connection to the earth and to the beauty of what this earth, what this world can be and is, that we source ourselves from that.
Beautiful. And I just want to say that the next gate in April will be the 17th, exactly on the 17th. So this is true up until the 17th. Yeah. And in the next class, we'll be talking about Taurus, because Venus will be in Taurus as she gets to that gate. And we'll talk about it from the perspective of the sacral chakra. So stay tuned.
Yeah, which is so aligned, of course, with Taurus. Yeah.
Right? Exactly.
Yep.
So we do have a video that we created on the warrior women past and present. And there's five women from the past. Grace O'Malley, the Pirate Queen, and we have Joan of Arc, and Lozen, and Mulan, and Boudica. And so their stories are pretty remarkable and fun to connect in with. And then Tammy did five women present, and so anyway, we're looking at how this energy maybe has evolved, or has, you know, how it's shown up in the past and how it's showing up now. So it's okay. A great video to watch. Anything more you want to say about that?
Yeah, just that, you know, historically we don't know necessarily if any of these women had strong Aries in their charts, but each of the women that I chose do have Aries featured in a significant way in their chart as well.
Right. So definitely. If you get it, haven't watched it yet, we highly recommend that you do as a way to tune in a little more with this.
Yeah,
so absolutely.
Yeah.
And now we're going to Durga.
Yes. So we encourage you to tune in your own way to explore any goddesses who to you feel like resonate with this wild kind of warrior Aries energy. And the two that we really as self embody these energies are Durga and Sekhmet. So we're not going to go into, we're not going to read all this or anything. It's for you to enjoy and tune in more deeply. But Durga, as warrior goddess, her story is just, it's a beautiful and powerful teaching tale about the primacy and the importance of the divine feminine, of the divine mother, how she is the source of all, and what happens when we live in a world where that has been forgotten, where she has been forgotten, and how essential it is to ask her to come again to our aid as we bring our world, which has become out of balance, back into balance. And you can listen, you can read in Sally Kenton's book, Awakening Shakti. She has an amazing version of the story that I've really kind of captured some of it from that. But also you'll see there's a link for the Durga chant, which we also recommend, you know, enlivening this energy if you want to work with Durga in lots of different ways. You can also, of course, you can put an image of her on your altar if you want, or get a little statue. I think I'm going to actually do that this time. If you want to work with her and resonate with her, there's a lot of ways to begin that conversation and that relationship with her.
Indeed. And then, so jumping ahead to number 29, where we have Aries and Sekhmet. So we've worked a lot with Sekhmet in the last, the Leo cycle, but she's also got a very strong Aries component. She is the queen. She is a queen, a part of the Memphis trio. Ptah was her consort, and her son was Nefertum, who was a healing god. Anyway, her story is pretty fierce, and some people feel really challenged by it. But she's so Aries, and she's so about restoring the balance and doing whatever it takes, devouring whatever's in the way.
We love her.
We do. We love her. And we're so grateful for her presence in doing that. So there's some slides here that really speak to her story. We're not going into that this time, but the story is here for you to, for those especially that are new that haven't had a chance to connect with her story yet. So now we'll jump to slide number two.
I want to say, too, that if you look at some of these pictures, the one of her, the photo of her statue is actually taken from the Sekhmet temple that Kaelin and I had gone to at the morning star rise of the Leo cycle. So this can tell you something about how powerfully we've experienced her and felt her to be a part of this Venus work.
Yes. Beautiful. So on slide number 32, we have the rise of the compassionate warrior goddess of love, Aries to Pisces bridge. I'll let you do this, Tammy, but just to say the reason that we wanted to put this in is because you can see that the Venus and Aries, Venus and Moon conjunction is happening in the constellation, also known as Pisces, of the fish, and that the next time Venus rises as morning star, it will be in the sign of Aries in 2025. So 8 years from now, this is the last time. This is our last time to work with Aries. Next time, it'll be a whole different story.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, it's just every 8 years for the last a little bit more than 100 years, we've had Venus rise as morning star in the sign of Aries. So we've had this ongoing Aries-Venus cycle. So the Aries goddess has been evolving, has been coming into full form. This is a cumulative cycle, and we can see and feel how powerful it is. And also we could understand, in part also because even at the beginning of this Aries-Venus cycle, she rose as morning star in Aries, but she was still retrograde, and so she went back into Pisces. So she spent quite a bit of time in Pisces then. As Kaelin's saying, she's in the watery constellations, which feel a little more Piscean. And this is the ending cycle, so we are feeling very strongly that that infused into this Aries cycle, we're already beginning to feel that Piscean, compassionate, more of the bodhisattva, loving energy that is infusing it as well, and also feeling how essential it is to really energize that, and that the as much as we want to we are rising up. We are saying enough, you know, following the Me Too and the Time's Up movements and everything that's happening. And yet there's also this this powerful feeling of empathy and of connection and of the heart, the feminine heart, the feminine compassion being part of the conversation. So, so we're just seeing and feeling so much that there is this merging of the compassionate Pisces energy with the fierce feminine as we bring her up and out.
And we're going to imagine, too, that in 2025, there'll be an Aries component to that Pisces
yep.
journey.
Right.
So that combination of that fierce feminine that's also compassionate and, you know, helping to restore the balance, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so just as we tune into that now, we can start to see how that's happening. That's all I'm going to say about that. Never mind.
Okay. Part of it, too, is just because we can imagine that in some ways the feminine has actually been regaining her strength to the degree she's strong enough now that she can be soft again in a way that is maintaining her sovereignty and her own individuality and honoring of self, but also softer and more vulnerable.
Indeed. So on slide number 33, we have, we started, of course, working with the grandmothers, the Capricorn cycle, and working with the grandmothers, and we came up with these little mantras from them that were inspired by them. Done is better than perfect. Fun is better than perfect. Well begun is half done. On our way to more fun. Taking a step in a new direction does not have to be perfect. It just has to be a step. So, those are things to remember as we're going through this journey. And then, of course, there is the Sekhmet mantra, Sa Sekhem Sahu. So just something for you to be aware of. And if you want to work with either any of these, then that's something you can work with as we journey along.
Mm-hmm.
So now if we look at slide number 34, I can maybe just say basically that we're the Aries goddess really is ready to find her or further her worthy cause, whatever that might be. So if she doesn't have it yet, she's looking for it. That's part of her commitment. And if she has it, she's furthering it. And she's all about restoring and protecting the cosmic balance. So, you know, there's that fierce aspect of it. And this next slide, number 35, is, I'm not going to share everything here, but you can look at it, but Clarissa Pinkola Estes wrote Women Who Run With the Wolves, and it was published at a time when there was an Aries metagoddess on the world stage. And so it's just kind of fun to see how she defines the wild woman, and that's something you can also bring into how you're working with this as well. So... then we find ourselves at 36, Aries and the root chakra. Do you want to talk about this one, Tammy?
Sure. So, all right. So at the root chakra, we can ask what as the Aries, we are all part of this, embodying the Aries archetype, the Aries feminine, the Aries metagoddess. So at the root chakra, we're bringing forth a newly initiated Aries world warrior woman goddess, and we are strengthening and raising our vibration on the ascension journey. So we are in a building phase. You know, as Inanna is coming up and out of the underworld, she has had her initiation, she's strengthening, she's getting stronger. There is this kind of deliberateness about the journey. At the root chakra, we ask ourselves, how does the healthy, grounded warrior goddess care for herself? That's really essential because, again, she and we have just been through, we've done some very deep work. We've been, often you'll find this for yourself personally or for someone you love, that when we're doing really deep emotional or transformative work, or sometimes in the underworld we'll experience very real losses, that as we come up out of that, it is for us to claim the transformation and the energy and the aliveness from that. But part of the integration is self-care. So what fundamental practices of self-care help us rise together as feminine leaders, bringing our radiant light, love, and visionary creativity into the world to completely transform it?
Yeah. Oh, good. Also, you know, it's really about, there's this slide number 37, the evolution of burnout recovery. And you can see that it's a guy, but, you know, ascending, so to speak, right? Getting on their feet, rising slowly. And then the full recovery is laying back down and resting. Just love that. So good. Right, as what we don't tend to do is, like, as soon as we are on our feet, we tend to try to go full speed ahead. So, you know, this is part of what we need to do to help reclaim a healthy root chakra. And, you know, there's also taking decisive action when we're experiencing fight, flight, or freeze in that survival mode. And, you know, to make better choices, to really help calm our system, to recover our strength, to get centered, to get grounded, you know, to recognize when we do need to continue with the recovery and the rest. And, you know, sometimes that's the action we need to take, not to just go out and do the next thing, whatever that might be. And that, you know, this one's a really good one for me. My Venus in Aries loves to take on things. Oh yeah, I can do that. No, I need to start saying no more to that. So, and that then helps us to balance our accomplishments and achievements a little bit, and so we can enjoy them, one, and two, so we can recognize when we need to rest and regenerate.
Because we're in this for the long run, you know, the more mature Aries goddess knows that this is not just something to leap in and then just kind of burn out and just fade away. It's actually about what will it take to be in this for a more enduring way. So, and you'll see that as we go through each of these days, so the evening star, a lot of what it's about is tuning in and asking, where am I already doing something that feels good? Where am I already, like, well on my way? Noting our accomplishments, noting what we're already doing, and then making that stronger. The morning star phase, it's really about clearing, and it's about letting go, and this is really about acknowledgement of self and strengthening and building. So in what ways have I shifted from burnout to balance, and what more can I do to support that process? How have I shifted any personal patterns of survival, operating from the sympathetic nervous system's tendency towards fight, flight, or freeze, to greater ease in the parasympathetic nervous system, operating from thriving and expert efficiency? What more can I do to further this experience? So this is so core for Aries, because the shadow side of Aries is often, again, going into act mode, react mode, constantly on the go, burning out. So this shift is this is the wise Aries who knows how to care for self. How am I showing up to further my worthy cause or mission while also letting go of the need to be a hero or the one who rescues others at my expense? And I'll just say for myself, Kaylin knows this, this last Aries Morning Star phase and Underworld, everything we are working on here, it's just so textbook for me, as if there were a textbook.
There will be someday, yes.
There will be. Yes, there will be. Yeah. In any case, how am I showing up to further my worthy cause and mission? How can I work with others to more easily accomplish my mission and purpose? So this is also part of the initiated Aries, is that she actually, it's the feminine Aries, she actually also knows how to work with others.
And at the root chakra, it's about thriving, not surviving. So,
yeah,
you know, adopting practices that help us to thrive is important. And part of that is nourishing your adrenals, getting plenty of rest, you know, the cooling the inflammation, getting the nutrients you need, going to bed early, taking naps if needed, drinking lots of water, and like lemon water, or adding Himalayan salt or ionic trace minerals, because most people are mineral deficient. These are ways we can nourish ourselves, nourish our adrenals, and nourish our energy so that we're in a thriving space rather than a surviving space. And then, you know, taking certain herbs can help, like licorice root and ashwagandha, as well as, you know, having lots of rest during the day. And I definitely take little when I get a chance, if I haven't over scheduled myself. I definitely do that when I can. I need to practice that a little more. So anyway, and the Buddha reminds us that success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is the key to success. So when we're building these ways of being successful, then, you know, within ourselves and being happy within ourselves, then we're going to be more successful. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we already went over, this is something I guess we should have probably reminded people, but every month we will, because there's so much to cover around each of the chakras and how to work with the chakras, We every month will have a video that we post about a week or so, hopefully before our class, that you'll have a chance to watch that video before the live class. We in the last video we created, which we recommend, the root chakra video, we also already talked about some of the practices we use in the Evening Star journey. But one of those is that at every chakra gate, we will talk about who the demons are that are showing up for you. So you want to talk about it more, Kaylin?
So basically, these are some ideas about the kinds of demons that you might experience at the root chakra. And this is just to get you started, because these may not cover yours. They might, you know, it feels like, at least for me, I know they cover some for me, definitely. So, yeah, but definitely. The idea is to get you started so you can come up with your own, and that you can work with these during this month, and some, you know, to be just create awareness and an opportunity to shift that those energies, or to, you know, to invite those demons to tea, as we talked about in that that video that Tammy's talking about, and how we can then begin to learn from them rather than, you know, that we're trying to banish them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And it's, and then, it's basically, oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
We do talk about it, but basically, in the Inanna story, when she's coming up and out of the underworld, she is accompanied by demons. And what we came to discover about this is that it's kind of like the yin-yang symbol. Like when you're on your way down in the underworld, you're focusing a lot on what you want to let go of and what is not working for you and releasing that. But there's also a little bit of that glimmer of what it is as you release that you're going to be creating and seeding in the, as you come up and out of the evening star. So there's that little eye of the yin-yang there. And then on the other side of it, as we come up, even though the main focus is on building and what's already working, there's still some of that that's going to come up that we want to work through with each of these chakras, and we can see those as demons that also can be seen as allies. And we talk more about that again in the video.
Yeah. So if you go to slide number 42, we're going to go through these somewhat quickly, but basically there are certain energies that really support our journey more than others. And so what we really want to do, if we can possibly manage this, is to really energize the energies that are love and above, and we'll see how this works in just a minute. And notice when those lower vibrational energies, fear, anger, guilt, shame, blame, whatever might be coming up, are coming up for whatever reasons. Maybe it's, you know, the current political climate definitely can activate that. Or maybe we're not getting enough sleep, or we're working too hard, or we have an experience with someone who does shaming and blaming, you know, or they're just not being easy to deal with for whatever reason, and what that brings up for us. So it's always our opportunity. And then how are we going to raise those energies, acknowledge, you know, connect with, and then look at how we can raise them. Like, what is the deeper message here for us to work with? So if you go to slide number 43, you'll see these are the energies. I think this comes from Stephen Hawking, who talks about the different energies. Like, shame has the lowest energy possible. And of course, enlightenment is the highest energy possible, whatever that means. But we're looking at really wanting to vibrate at love or above, at love or joy or peace. So how do we create opportunities to activate this in our world and in our life daily as much as possible? So one of the things I've been really energizing is that imagining myself as a superconductor of love, because a superconductor is completely harmoniously organized, and any energies that come in either are going to be taken to that level automatically, to that sort of very harmonic energy, or it's just going to go around it. It's not going to phase it. So I'm like, yeah, I'm all about that. So anyway.
Well, I think part of it too is understanding that it's not that there's something bad about. We need all these feelings, all these experiences are all part of being human. And so it actually can be a higher vibration to be honest and acknowledge when we're feeling some of those things than it is to pretend. But if we're actively connecting to our feelings and also making a choice to raise the vibration, it has to do with that. also. So it's not a black and white thing, and it's not a reason to feel bad about yourself if you're not in that place all the time.
That is true.
Right. So it's an intent to set. And I love the way you talk about that, Kaylin, with like that love vibration and
yes.
tuning into
well,
that
I did,
and activating that.
Yes, and the underworld where I got a really good chance to practice that.
Yes.
And somebody who was very shaming, blaming, and complaining. And I found myself reacting to that. And then I'm like, okay, what's the deeper piece for me here? And not to go into blaming myself and shaming myself, because that's not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I did feel a lot of shame around what was being said and done. And so so I did set intention not to dismiss the feelings that I was having, but, you know, that I wanted to take these lower vibrational frequency energies
mm-hmm.
and raise them up and whatever it would take and to have help and assistance and support in doing that with my guides and grandmother guides
mm-hmm.
and whatever. And so it lasted about a day, and then I got better.
Awesome.
You know, I think back a couple of times, but, you know, it's good. So, yeah, it's important, and we need to really honor whatever it is that we're going through and allow ourselves to feel it, but then with the intention that ultimately we can raise it to a higher vibration mm-hmm. rather than just following in the lower vibrational energy.
Yeah. I love your example, and I actually really think, Kaylin, it's so awesome when to talk about it now, because the truth is that we do live in a time of tremendous intensity and acceleration, and a lot of people are going through a lot, and that's not going to, you know, it's not going to slow down any moment soon. So what you're talking about is so essential in terms of learning resiliency, like deep resiliency, like to name and feel what we're feeling, and then if we can, and then the intentions you're setting are so powerful, because you can create that field around yourself, and so you can't be phased as much by everything that's happening around you in a way that you're totally disempowered or immobilized, which is really easy to do, I think, at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah. You know, so if we go to the next slide, number 44, we can look at conscious choices or unconscious choices. You know, this is the like that pyramid of how we can get to empowerment, where we're first maybe we're reacting it completely unaware and disempowering behavior. Then maybe we realize after we've behaved badly or less than ideally that, you know, and then we can have the present awareness that we're like knowing that we're saying and doing things we might regret later. Get to a place of choice where we can change that, and then, you know, then we're no longer at the effect of any disempowering behavior. That's the ideal, you know, and that's a practice. It's something that I've been practicing and cultivating for a while. I'm getting better at it, but I still have my moments where I am completely unaware until after it's all over. So I'm like, wow, look at that. Anyway, but the whole idea is that we want to become aware so we can empower our choices, and that, of course, Aries loves because it helps further the cause, whatever that might be.
Awesome. That's
yeah.
so cool. So all right. So then we always will share different ideas of home play exercises. And the first at this time really is to create your altar if you haven't done that yet. And again, you can go to the video we created on the ceremonial considerations, and we'll talk more about altars. Connect with your Venus buddy. So when I send that little Google Doc out, so let us know you want one and we'll find you one. Hopefully you'll be able to connect with them before the next class, at least to know who they are. Practice self-care when making daily choices. So ask, again, because this is Aries, and Aries actually is here to learn about how to put yourself first, not continually sacrifice yourself for others. So what would I choose if I truly put myself first is a really good foundational question. Continuing or initiating your Venus journal. Spending time with Venus, the moon, and Mercury in the evening sky, and Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars in the morning sky. And then specific to this Aries journey, to celebrate the rising warrior goddess inside of you. Help her know you are excited to reconnect with her. There's lots of ways to do that. In your Venus journal, you might write about your journey so far since March 31st of last year. Explore the internal and external challenges or demons you're still facing and learning to embrace. And then I really like this, Kaylin, switching to your non-dominant hand, writing from the perspective of your inner warrior goddess. and letting her tell you what she needs from you this month to support her in reclaiming her wild warrior woman expression as she rises from the underworld initiatory journey. Do you want to say anything else about these, Kaylin?
Well, so that so when we write, you know, with our dominant hand, we're more in our left brain thinking. When we switch to the non-dominant hand, then we get more into the right brain. It's not so easy to write from there, but the messages that can come through are really remarkable. So it's a great practice. The other thing you can do if you don't really want to write with your non-dominant hand is you can just maybe even like ask the wild warrior woman what she needs from you, and then just close your eyes and tune in, and then you can write whatever message. So you can do it in a couple of different ways, but there is something about switching to the non-dominant hand that can be really helpful. So we're pretty much complete. We did include this the song, Katy Perry song on Roar, because it's got a lot of Aries energy to it. And so this is something you can dance to, you can sing to. You've got the words right here. And, you know, roar as we come back. Connect with the root chakra and fire up that life force energy. Woohoo! And then the slides after that are basically just some possible images for visiting the Venus Temple and the Sky Temple, because we're about to do that. And for people who sometimes can use a little help in getting that visualization going. And you don't have to use these images at all. So just something to help out those who might find it helpful. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have some additional resources you can connect into as well. So I think we might be ready to start our journey.
Beautiful.
So here we go. So there's just a couple of things that we need to say, especially since this is the first time we're doing this. It's always helpful to have a Venus journal handy or something to write on. It doesn't have to be your Venus journal if you don't have one yet. And the whole point is that you can capture any messages or insights or ahas that might occur during our ceremonial journey. And then also, hopefully nobody's driving or doing anything that requires a full attention, because not a good idea to be listening to this at that time. So ideally, we hope you're in a place where you can really be comfortable and you won't be interrupted. Sometimes people... And, you know, like if you can lay down, that's great. If you like to do that, if you like to journey by dancing, swaying, moving, you know, sitting back, sitting in a meditative place, lying down, whatever works for you. So there's no rules about this. Sometimes it helps to cover your eyes so you can maintain your focus, but that's also not necessary. But some people really like that when they do a little journey. These are going to be pretty quick journeys that we're going to do. And when we're done, we're going to be going right into the Q&A. So, you know, if you want to take a moment to capture the parts of the journey, do some bullet points or draw some things or write a few words, and then you can write more later. If you're listening to the replay, of course, you can always pause the recording. Take all the time you need. That's the advantage of doing it from that perspective. So I think we're ready to begin. And what I would just invite everybody to do is connect with your breath and breathe again deeply into your root chakra. And to do that with intention that you're strengthening your life force energy as you're breathing into your root chakra. And then when you're ready, you can ask your personal grandmother guide or guides. If you don't have a personal grandmother guide or guides yet, you can also ask your allies, the guardian angels, any master teachers or spirit guides to journey with you. And we're going to just begin by imagining that we're traveling across the dimensions of time and space. And we're going to do this rather quickly. So right as you're crossing these dimensions of time and space, notice in the distance the radiant golden light of the Venus Temple drawing you in. And as you get closer, you're going to arrive in front of the huge temple doors. And a wise and beautiful grandmother is going to warmly greet you and begin clearing your energy field with ceremonial sage and her special eagle feather. And and she's doing this rather quickly because, you know, time is very different in this realm and dimension. So once this clearing process is complete, she directs you to pass through the temple doors and past the temple fountain, and then you're going to join your Venus brothers and sisters at the Venus altar. And notice upon the altar the abundance of red roses and all other red flowers that are filling the space, and then also filling the space with their fragrance. And then also notice that there's an abundance of red stones on the altar, maybe orbs and pillars, rubies, granites, red granite, garnets, red agate, red sandstone, what other red stones you may notice that are there. And all of this has been placed there in honor of this root chakra ceremony. So as you're gazing at the altar, you're aware that the grandmothers are calling in sacred space. And as they're doing that, they're inviting a strong, vital, wild warrior goddess to join the ceremony. This goddess appears before you, creating a rush of life force, activating all the levels of your being with her radiant presence. And as this goddess stands before you, she's asking if you are ready to claim the strength and power of who you truly are. And she's asking if you're ready to show up as someone who courageously is offering your gifts to the greater community in ways that enhance the common good for all. And as you feel into this question, even if you feel a little uncertain, even if you're a bit hesitant or you're not quite sure that you're ready for this, this powerful goddess is assuring you that you have whatever is needed to fully claim and express this part of yourself, and she's here to support you in doing so. And now she's leaning in and whispering a message in your ear that will guide you through the ascent journey at the root chakra gate. It might be a message of encouragement and reassurance, or it might be a message that helps deepen your understanding of where you are still holding fear or hesitation or doubt or uncertainty. And then she asks you if you are willing to give all the fear, uncertainty, doubt, hesitation, any of that that you may still have, if you are willing to give it to her, feed it to her, so she can transform it. And in so doing, she's freeing you to experience the full power of your personal Kundalini life force, fully activated and alive with possibility. So this ceremony is complete, and you express your deep gratitude to the goddess before you, thanking her for her encouragement and support. And then when you're complete with that, return to the temple steps, the Venus temple steps, and we'll begin the sky temple journey.
As you leave the Venus temple, you look out to see a great and ancient forest and a winding path leading you through the forest. And you take the path, and as you take the path through the forest and among all the enormous, powerful, sentient beings around you, which are trees, the sky begins to darken, and you can see the path in front of you become fainter and fainter until suddenly you see a bright globe of glittering, shining, sparkling violet light. And this globe of light leads you along the path until you come to a clearing. And now as you open out into the clearing, you see that you have stepped out under a beautiful, brilliant night, a velvety dark sky filled with brilliant, bright stars. And there's a pool of water in front of you, and in that deep pool, you see the starlight shining like fireflies. And as you look further beyond the pool of water, you would normally, for those of you who have been before, you know that normally you would see a spiral staircase. A shimmering spiral staircase ascending into the heavens. But somehow this spiral staircase at this time has transformed into an enormous tree. and you recognize it as the tree of life. You recognize it as the world tree. And you approach the tree and you find that there is a spiraling path up the side of this great tree. And you take that spiraling path up to the very top until you get to a bank of clouds, and you pass through the bank of clouds and you come into the sky temple. And as you do, you feel as if the sky is, the dome of the sky is right above you. The stars, the planets, the sun, the moon, the Milky Way galaxy, it has all come to vibrant life. It's filled with color. It's filled with a feeling of aliveness. It's as if you could touch the stars and the planets with your fingertips. And you just take a moment to feel the beauty, the power of this place of vibrancy. And then you look around and you see that there are pyramids, there are stone cairns set up to align with the cycles of the sun, of the moon. There are all kinds of observatories and alignments and petroglyphs and other stone hierophanies and other sites designed to bring the energy of earth and sky together in sacred marriage. And now you look and you see before you there are two columns. And between these columns, as you look out to the west, you see the beautiful sliver of moon, and you see Venus and you see Mercury near the moon. And you can see the constellation of the fish, and you can see the knot in the fish, and you can see the stars. And just take a moment to observe the beauty of these stars, the beauty of Venus and Mercury shining brightly as if they are living beings. So just breathe that in and feel the energy. And as you do, you will see that Venus and Mercury are suddenly growing brighter and brighter and are transforming into the shape of a woman, into the shape of a goddess. And now you see a goddess before you, and you know her to be the Shekinah, and you know her to be the immanent divine, you know her to be the feminine presence that exists, that brings the wisdom and the light of the feminine down to earth. And so within her body you see the beautiful rivers and oceans and earth forms of Gaia of the earth, and yet you also see that she is filled with the light of the celestial. She is filled with the light of spirit and the divine, and she embodies the energies of both, perfectly balanced, perfectly alive. And now you see that she reaches down, and it is as if she is reaching her hand down to the very root of the great world tree. And as she does, she pulls up something, and she puts out her palm in front of you. You see something in the palm of her hand. It's a gift for you. It is a gift. It may be words or a message. It might be an object. It might be that you can see yourself doing something in the palm of her hand. Whatever this gift is, it is something to support you in fully anchoring and building your foundation at this root chakra and helping you to feel the most supported, the most generated, most generative in this journey. So just take a moment to see what this gift is that she is giving you. And now say thank you. Give her your gratitude. And it is now time to leave the sky temple. And once again, you will go through the bank of clouds and you will take the spiraling path down the side of the great world tree. Down, 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 and as you do, you're coming down into your body and down into the present moment and down into the room. So just take a moment, if you have paper, just a moment to write or draw or sketch anything you want to remember from your journey, any insights, the messages you might have received, so that you can visit them again later and not forget.
So, in the interest of time, continue to sketch, write, whatever you're doing. But if anybody has anything they want to ask, they want to share, that, you know, is an aha or it's just something that they'd like to share with the group, you can press star 6 to get in the queue, and we'll love to hear from at least a couple of people, if not more. Okay. This might be Kathy. I'm not 100% sure. Let's try. Hello.
Hi, Kaylin. It's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Thank you so much for the wonderful call. And this is just something I want to share that, again, is just this magical timing with Venus and the Venus gate coming up. Next week, Thursday, I'm going to Las Vegas for the conference for the Association for the Study of Women and Mythology. These are all the women in academia who are goddess women and who study feminist women spirituality. So it's amazing that the conference is happening over that time, next weekend, coincided with the first gate on the 18th. And the first event for the first activity for the group is a visit to the Sekhmet Temple on Thursday.
Oh, so cool. Say hi to Sekhmet for us.
I will. Yes, I'm so excited because I've never been.
It's amazing.
It's such
a yeah. So, and on the day of the first gate, on Sunday the 18th, Vicki Noble is leading us in a day for matriarchal studies.
Oh, wow.
Lucky you.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
About
so I just wanted to share that and send love to all of you.
Oh, thank you, Kathy. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I had no idea this was going on, and I love, love, love it. That, you know, Vicki Noble is somebody I have thought I would love to meet sometime or experience in person sometime. So, yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
Please do share anything that comes from that that you think that the group could benefit from if you have bandwidth. Just amazing.
Yeah. I'll share some pictures.
Oh, yes. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, thanks.
All right. We have a couple more people. So I don't know who this is.
Hi, my name is Tina.
Tina. Hi.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't use my speakerphone. Okay. Hi. I just have a quick question because I'm not an astrologist. thank you so much for a great night and a good kickoff. The triquetra.
Triquetra,
yeah. Oh yeah. Sorry, I'm speaking into my phone. I should turn off the speaker. There we go. So on the slide where it is, I can't quite understand what is the triquetra because I only see like Mercury and then the Sun. So can you just explain the other circles a little bit?
Well, so the where it's showing Mercury, the Sun, and Venus, that you know how Mercury circles around and it's creating those three circles around Venus within the circle of Venus.
Venus is the big circle?
Yes. Yes.
Ah, okay.
So Mercury's creating the three circles around Venus, and then you see the image of the triquetra. Actually, I put that one in because it was red, like a root chakra color.
Yeah.
But there sometimes you can see the triquetra within three circles, that kind of thing. But if you follow the imagery around, it will look like what's in the center of where Mercury's making the three circles around Venus.
Yes. Now I see. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, yay. I'm glad. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, I think it's confusing because it says Mercury and it says Sun, but it doesn't say Venus.
Right.
Well, now I understand. Yeah.
Yes.
It's within,
right.
Within each other.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Got
yes.
it.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Awesome. All right. And then I think we have Emma.
Hi. Hi. This is Emma.
Hi, Emma.
I need to get a little drink of water here. But my is there somebody else that you can take while I get a drink?
Yes, there is.
Yeah,
I'll go ahead and introduce you, and then we'll get back to you. Okay. And then I'll this is Faye, I think.
Hi, Kaylin and Tammy. This is Faye.
Hi.
Hi. Awesome. I just thank you. I wanted to just tell you how wonderful this class has been. I find it to be incredibly, the timing is just, it's so kind of miraculous. A couple of things. The iris being connected with Uranus, or that particular star, is it a star? A fixed star, is it? I'm not
so
sure.
The stars are Alrishi and Alferg that are located around 28 and 29 degrees Aries. And okay. And Eris is around 23, so getting close to where those stars are. And Uranus is hanging out, you know, it's crossing those degrees, hanging out in those degrees most of this year. So with those stars, basically, is where Uranus is hanging out this year. We can't see Uranus. We can't really see it.
Eris is a star as well?
Eris is
a star.
It's a dwarf planet.
A dwarf planet. Okay.
Yeah. You can't see Eris either. It's out past Pluto, way out there. And I was talking about how Eris is the one that disrupted Pluto from being
right.
a planet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I just was looking at where that was in my natal chart, and it's in the 11th house, and it trines Uranus, and it sextiles Chiron, and I've got some things to think about with that. But anyhow, I just wanted to say that I have been a couple of things. I didn't know anything about, and I'm going to butcher the way it's pronounced here, the Egyptian lioness
Sekhmet.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about that until I just was looking at your presentation. And when I did the journey, I tried to do these before I came on the group. I actually met that queen, I think.
Yeah.
And I met her again just now, and I'm just kind of blown away that has occurred. And a little speechless, and a little, I don't know, it's just kind of a very humbling experience to have someone be able to take all of your fear and all of your angst so that you can do what you need to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so excited to go back to listen again, to do more journeying in the period of time we've got between when we meet again. I feel, even though I don't have Aries as a star point, I think I have Leo, and I need to learn more about all this, but I just had to join in with you because this is such a time with this Aries energy. We're not going to have this again, you know, mm-hmm. And I feel it. I feel with Venus entering Aries already, my creative self is coming alive again. Mm-hmm. I was really in a very dark place for of many months, and it probably, you know, is in cycle with what was going on with the star, with the planet Venus. And I want to go look at her more and spend time with her. And I just am so grateful to you two. And you just, I really just enjoy your energy. And I can just, I just feel like this is going to be a great, great class for me. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Faye. We love it when people love it.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm still learning astrology, and I still have much, much to learn, but it just feels like this is the right way for me to learn, you know. And I loved what you said, Kaylin, in the beginning about wherever you are is where you are, you know. I mean, I came to this, I'm 50, how old am I, 58? So, you know, I mean, I think it's thrilling for people to have found this at 40, you know, and sync up with the cycles of Venus. But, you know, you are where you are, and I am where I am, and, you know, I'm really, really happy to be here and contribute and to grow. So thank you. And I will, I'll let you go back to the woman who needed to get a drink.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. We love hearing from you.
Thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so
Becca,
let's go back to
Emma. So alive. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, she is. Oh, my God. I love her so much. Okay, I'm going back to Emma, and then we've got Shelley, and then I think we'll be done. So
awesome.
Here we go.
Okay, I'll do this real fairly quick. I want to tell Faye that when she met Sekhmet, she was so blessed. And to have this twice, oh, I love her for doing that, for bringing that energy into us. I wanted to tell you that at the temple, I was given three coins. One was named Love, the other one was named Joy, and the other had the name of Bliss. And these are the things that I need to develop. Love and joy will bring me bliss.
That is so beautiful.
I want to share one other thing. This is, how many Venus cycles have we done?
This is our one.
Our
yeah,
fourth?
This is the third.
The third. It seems like we've been doing it for a lifetime.
Yes.
This root chakra was the deepest one I have ever gone into. And it was a deep cleaning. I got the flu. And I looked at my chart and what was activating in my chart at that time, before about early part of December. And I thought, oh, I wonder what Pluto's going to bring me this time. Because I have Pluto in Capricorn. And some of the energy of Pluto was being activated. Well, I was taken into the flu. In that flu, I went into a very, very deep cleansing. When I came out of the flu, I had to teach myself to walk again.
Wow.
I had to teach myself to think again. And I had to teach myself to hope again. Everything was stripped. And I reached out to my friends from IONS, my very wonderful ION friends, and asked them to help me. One of the major things that I was concerned about was that I had lost completely everything mentally, organizationally. I had to write down a list and tell myself the steps that I needed to do. I could not remember the steps. Like, you're going to make eggs for lunch. You need to go to the refrigerator, pick out the eggs, put them out for warming a little bit. And I had to do all the detail. About 3 days of that, and then the memory started to come back. And what was happening is my friends, one of the ladies in the group is a Reiki master, and she had three or four of my friends get together, and they were sending me healing for the mind. Mm-hmm. And little by little, the brain began to function again. I thought I'd lost everything.
Wow.
And I realized that there was something old that I needed to release. And what it was is I was honoring too much the small ego of self-independence. And that there is no dependence unless you realize with every breath you are connected with the whole. Only then can you be truly independent. So that's been my journey through this underworld. And what I have is Uranus sitting there laughing at me in Aries. I kept on thinking, Uranus is going to go into Pisces soon, into Taurus soon, and She did. She went into Taurus for a few days, but I forgot to look ahead in my ephemeris and saw that she was going to come back in to Pisces, to Aries again. And so it's like it's the beginning of a whole new thing.
Wow, Emma, thank you so much for sharing that. It's powerful.
I talked to Eric the other day and told him a little bit about what I was going to. He said 2 years ago he got the flu, and he said he realized a lot of the stuff I was talking about. He said, but his was not that deep.
Mm. Wow. Sounds like you're having an enlightenment experience.
Yes. And my aim now is to build, to grow, and to really realize the value of what we are studying and sharing here. I think I was taking it superficially.
Mm. Thank you, Emma.
Yes, and if you were taking it superficially, I mean, just thank you for helping us to see a way to even take it deeper. I just want to say that what you're describing sounds so very raw, very profound, and I just want to say that I can relate and resonate on the level that myself also in the underworld. I went through a major surgery, and I also had the experience and a breakup. I've had very big, it's definitely kind of took me, it's taken me deep as well. And like you, what supported me in those two pieces was having really beautiful, powerful community of healers who really have supported in so many ways to have those experiences be deeply, deeply transformative and continuing to be so. And I feel and hear you in the building phase and using this lens to deepen and build what it is that we can gain from what we experience in the underworld. So I just really, just so powerful to hear your story.
Thank you. You know, I'm looking at in 87, 88, I'll be going through my Venus return. And when I'm 87, 88, I'm 84 now, going in 85. So in a few years, I'll go through that Gemini return. And I'm really going to find out how what's going to be happening during that one.
Well, we'll talk about it, right? Emma, thank you so much. I'm going to catch up Shelly now, and then we'll be done. So, hello, Shelly.
Hello. Can you ladies hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. No, I wasn't sure because I'm using these new speakers for the first time. First of all, I wanted to thank you for this beautiful class. This is the first time that I'm actually able to do a live class and be in a sacred space to do it. So I'm so grateful for that. But what I wanted to just speak into is that when I did the meditation just now with the temple, what came to me is I just realized that we birthed two goddesses. We rebirthed one and birthed a new one. I don't know if many of you have seen Black Panther.
That is on my list.
Okay.
What?
You will see
what?
Black Panther.
Oh, the movie. Yeah, I want to.
You will see the birth of a new goddess, Okoye, which is there. All the women are warrior women, a warrior that protects this particular superhero. Now, last year we had the rebirth of Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Yeah.
And her going through the Aries cycle. Now we have the birth of a new goddess who has an entire, tribe of women who are the defender of the cause.
Mm-hmm.
So she came to me during this entire meditation, and I was very surprised because I saw Shekmet, and then I saw Okoye come in. And I said, wow, this is incredible, because this is now we're transcending and moving through different cultures and even cultures that we probably never even tapped into. As a woman of Caribbean descent and African descent, I intend to bring this to a lot of different women and for them to see that the power of the goddess can transcend in so many different cultures and in so many different spaces and time. So I'm so grateful to have this experience, able to take this experience and bring it to a community that is pretty much not aware of this amazing body of work that's out here, this amazing body of information. Like ever since Kaylin, thank you, Kaylin, did my reading, she really opened up some areas of me that I was able to reflect on and tap into and tune into. And so I'm more attuned and more aware than I've ever been before. So I'm just really grateful for that. So I just wanted to just bring that up, that two goddesses, one rebirth and one was born within this 18-month cycle, and how we can look into that for a lot of women to tap into who are outside or inside of the culture. So just wanted to, like, comment on that.
Thank you. You know, I'm so grateful that you're sharing this, because I have that on my list to go and see, and now I'll have this perspective as I'm seeing it. I love it. And I was getting just rushes of chills and energy as you were describing it, bringing it to your community and, to women that maybe don't have an opportunity to, so cool. Thank you.
I'm just so excited. So thank you both for this. I'm just like so thrive. I'm just so excited, I should say, and inspired. And they're also all wearing red, the women in the movie, tribe of warrior women. So please, it's very exciting. So thank you very much, ladies, and thank you for everything that you're doing and so embodying this work as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
So I'm going to end. And we're just going to say goodbye to everybody, and thank you all for showing up, and we'll see you next month, or we'll hear you next month. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone. Okay.